My name is Zach Como, and you're listening to the My Tech Decisions Podcast. Thanks for coming back to another episode of My Tech Decisions Podcast. Like I said, my name is Zach and I'm your host. We at Tech Decisions, along with our sister site, Commercial Integrator, like to cover a lot of IT and AV tech events around the world, but we obviously haven't been to any of them in a few months because of the coronavirus pandemic, and they've all been canceled. But we have covered some of them virtually. Many tech events are switching to virtual platforms in a bid to stay connected to the industry, network, make connections, grow the industry, and just kind of help companies release new products. For tech decision makers, especially around communications and collaboration, Enterprise Connect is a pretty important conference. It showcases the latest in communication and collaboration technology. But it was scheduled for April, but it was canceled in favor of a small virtual offering, and it was rescheduled for August, but that too was canceled. But this time, the show is improving its virtual event with a new model. So today's guest is Eric Kraft, the GM of Enterprise Connect, and he's here to talk to us just about the new virtual offering and what went into the planning of that event. Before we get to that interview, here's a quick reminder that My Tech Decisions podcast is available on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Download and subscribe to hear weekly interviews with tech experts like IT professionals, AV installers, cybersecurity experts, software providers, and more. And now here's Eric Kraft. Yeah, so this is something that we've been paying attention to, obviously, since we cover a lot of these events, and there hasn't been one since probably February, January. Yeah. We're you know, trying to follow the story of these tech events going virtual and what that's really going to look like in the future and how that's evolved already. You know, over these first few months of the pandemic. So in August, it was supposed to be in San Fran. Is that physical event still going to happen or no?
No, I didn't think so. It just wasn't in the cards.
Yeah. And that's a pretty hard hit area right now anyway, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, you know, you watch as much news, I'm sure, as I do. It's just not, it's not really looking great anywhere, as you say.
Yeah, yeah. When was the decision made to cancel the physical event?
We made that decision back in like May, about May 12th or so.
Okay.
As things were progressing, and you know, obviously, there's a lot of lead time you got to put into this, and it just wasn't clear that it was going to be doable, and you know, so we had to, you know, cancel it for the year.
Yeah. It's funny. Everyone, you know, from in March, everyone was like, oh, maybe in by June, we'll be able to get back to normal. And this, I mean, now we're looking at probably maybe like next spring.
It's really, and you're right. When we rescheduled from March to August, we thought, no problem. This will be, you know, we'll have this under control by then. But
yeah,
it's not to be.
Yes. So what's different about this one than what we saw in April?
What's different is we're doing kind of a more of a full blown experience or event in August. The one we did in March, it was really just getting some sessions out there for the week that the show was supposed to happen in Orlando. And so it was about getting, I think we had 9 or 10 sessions that, you know, were kind of the top drawing sessions, and we just asked those speakers to do some quick webinars and just get online with some content so that we could connect with our audience, you know. And obviously we canceled that one, like it was like about mid or early to mid-March that we canceled the Orlando one. And so it was just, you know, we were just like, what can we get out there in the next couple of weeks, and that was it. So for August, we're using kind of a full-blown virtual event platform, and What's exciting to us about it is it's really kind of a next gen platform for these virtual events. I mean, virtual events have been around for a while, but this one actually uses stuff like AI and pulls a lot of the information that attendees have always given us when they register to help them find like sessions and vendors and colleagues that they want to talk to. And there's kind of AI driven matchmaking. So if you're trying to recreate whatever of the feel of a live event you can, where people meet up and just have random discussions, and you can obviously do much of that with a virtual event, but you can at least show people some other people they might want to talk to, and it's up to you how you use that.
Right. Yeah. Can you talk more about that AI powered platform, and I think I saw the ability to kind of virtually visit vendors.
Yeah, so there's the kind of standard virtual event model is you have the sponsors or the vendors there, and they're in a list or on a line or whatever. Yeah. And there's kind of that element of it, but it's much more dynamic. The vendors sort of plug themselves into the same keywords that the attendees do. So it kind of, we present the attendee with, you said you were interested in these certain topics. Here's the vendors that match that. You went to a session on that top, or if you go to a session on that topic, even if it wasn't on your original list, then we say, hey, if you like the session, maybe, these vendors cover that topic. Mm. So it's the idea is to, if you're faced with a whole huge convention floor, you don't always know who to look for, who look at. And this lets you find the vendors with, that you're really interested in.
So, what do those vendor pages look like?
They have kind of a video window. The vendor may choose just to do a static image, but they can do a video that shows, a demo or shows what they do, or just a message. There's then, listings of their products, and the kind of look and feel is closer to, I want to say sort of like, online shopping, where it kind of displays the product, and it says, it's kind of like all about affinities. And if you like this product, maybe you like that product. Mm. And just, it presents, there are some vendor assets, white papers and so forth. They're available to you. And there's also people you can chat with, and you can also, as an attendee, you can make like a specific appointment. We have 15 minute time blocks where you can reserve a time to talk to a vendor. And that's, to us, that's important, because one of the things that's really important is, we know this is the week of August 3rd, and we know that it's going to be a work week for most people. It's not like you fly to Orlando and you're mostly away from your job, even though most people do have to check in and keep up. So one of the things we like about the AI and the all the things for finding things and people is that it'll hopefully let people be really efficient about how they don't just spend a lot of time looking around and not really finding what they're after. They get directed right to the things that match what they say they're interested in.
Great. So there's the ability to talk to someone from that company right on their page.
Yeah, they can click that person. If they don't have a particular person they want, they can just start a chat sort of randomly.
Okay, great. And what is this virtual event platform? Is there a company that provides it?
Yeah, it's a company called SwapCard. Mm-hmm. Like what you do is swapping cards at a show. Right. And they're based out of France, actually. We and the company, our parent company Informa, obviously we got, dozens and dozens of events that are trying to go virtual. We reviewed a lot of platforms, and there are a lot of great ones out there, and there's a lot of advances being made, but we just felt SwapCard had the right combination of AI and a really usable, friendly user interface. And we just felt like it made for the best experience for the attendees and the sponsors.
Yeah. So can you talk about, the conversations you guys had after that April event, and how you wanted, and what you wanted to add, how you wanted to expand, and I guess how you settled on on that company from France?
So we, you know, I think the April event was really successful in terms of just people attending. We had something like 2,500 people all together watch some of the sessions. But it kind of wasn't that experience. What we knew we wanted to do at the time, we didn't think we'd need to do it virtually because we thought we were going to be able to then do August in San Francisco. But as soon as that fell off, then looking back at March, we said that, you know, we didn't really have a chance to, we didn't have any sponsors in that March, April thing. So we didn't have a chance for the attendees to meet our sponsors. And obviously, I mean, for one thing, you have to have sponsors to kind of pay the bills, but also we found increasingly as this industry has grown so much, the attendees really want to have that chance to sort of efficiently compare vendors, which you can really only get at an independent event. You know, if you go to a single vendor's event, you're not going to get that total perspective. Right. So we knew they actually did want to engage with sponsors, and we also knew that they wanted to engage with each other. We knew they wanted to have the opportunity to, you know, people always tell us the thing they like best about Enterprise Connect as a live event is networking with their peers. So we knew we needed a good platform to get it, get that to them. And that was really what was behind choosing Swapcard was, again, I think we felt they had the best tools and the best experience for doing that. So that when somebody comes into this environment, they can easily do what they want to do.
Infocom had a kind of a similar networking feature, but it looked like Tinder or like a dating app. You would like swipe until you saw a tech professional that you had similar interests with or whatever, and that you wanted to talk further with. It was kind of funny. Not that I know what Tinder is. I'm a married man.
I'm way too old for Tinder, but yeah, I don't know that, and I think our audience, it's a, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for Infocom, but our audience is a, you know, they're a mid-level to senior audience. And so I think they're, again, they probably also are not as sort of immersed in the Tinder model of finding people as maybe younger folks.
Do you think this virtual aspect of Enterprise Connect will have staying power? Even when there's a vaccine and we can go out in public and go to these conferences again?
I think it will. I mean, and we're not only think, I mean, I know we're planning for, you know, at least the foreseeable future, the next year or two, for most of our live events to have a virtual component because, you know, in the interim, you know, we hope very much that there's a vaccine sooner rather than later. But we know that, even under those circumstances, it may take a little time to kind of rev the engine back up for a lot of companies to be sending people to events or to, you know, to at least have the opportunity. And so, you know, we feel like there's got to be a virtual component. There's got to be a kind of a hybrid, and that can actually work better. Because again, you can put a lot of these AI driven tools, you can do it in a live event mobile app, but I think having the hybrid ability just gives you more options and more ways to get the substance of the conference out to people.
Yeah. And I think you guys have some premium content that I think costs extra. Yeah. What's the value in that? And, do you guys do something similar for actual physical events, and how does that kind of mimic that?
We don't really have different tiers of like premium. The whole kind of the conference as a whole is a paid event at the live event, and then there's a limited amount of programming that we do, and there's more that our sponsors do, like on the show floor where it's free to get in. For this one, really the bulk of the conference is free, and we know, you know, that's because that's just the model online, and that's how people expect to consume content. We did want to add we wanted to kind of a piece of it that we wanted to explore was doing a longer thing. We used to have like tutorial day, and a lot of shows still do. They're maybe even Sunday or Monday of their week is, you know, half day or full day tutorials, and we weren't going to go that far, but we got 2-hour sessions. And the idea is that if what somebody really wants is that really deep dive into something, that we can provide that and charge really not that much compared to, you know, an hour of consulting or whatever else somebody might get you do to get that same information, and put it as part of this event. The one thing that we are doing that's a little bit unique, but it's what we decided to do was to split those 2-hour premium sessions off from the conference days, and we're running them on successive Fridays in August. And that was so that, because 2 hours, again, if you expect people to be working while they're, you know, catching some time in the virtual event, you know, 2 hours is a lot to ask them to devote to one single thing, and then they may not have time to see the sponsors, won't have time to see other sessions, meet other people. So we wanted to get that block of 2 hours time away from the main bulk of the conference and give people, you know, a piece of content that they can sort of get every Friday, you know, throughout August.
Do you see that there's now sort of a roadmap for holding virtual events, and how is that evolving as we go? And what do you see, you know, for the future of virtual events?
I think there's, you know, there's definitely a place for it. I mean, one of the things we're seeing, I think everybody's experiencing it in one way or another throughout this whole pandemic, is people miss being with other people in real life. And so we think that's going to apply to conferences when that's possible again. But there's, you know, virtual, it gives us a wider net to cast. I mean, there's always going to be a share of the people, particularly at, you know, smaller businesses, who they don't have the time or the money to go off to Florida for a week, and even they might love the content, but they just can't swing it. So we, you know, virtual is a great way, and we're finding new ways to provide content to people like that and bring them into our orbit. So maybe as they grow, as their organization grows, or as that person moves into a larger organization, they know who we are and they become interested in a live event.
Great. The subject matter for Enterprise Connect, I think, is, you know, there are a lot of vendors that, you know, kind of provide this, you know, remote collaboration technology. So, you know, were any of them, you know, helpful in kind of, you know, setting this up and expanding on the virtual event?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have to actually be sort of careful and neutral about that. You know, if we use one vendor for our video, then the others who sponsors might want. So the Swapcard platform is a good sort of way to mediate that. And so, you know, there's things that plug into Swapcard, and there's platforms that our AV crews are able to use to stream to Swapcard. But we consciously try to avoid making sort of putting a stake in the ground with one of our sponsors or another as a provider to us.
Maybe a better question is, I mean, do you think it's important to expand on your own virtual event, given that you're providing a service for companies that, you know, are skilled at doing that? So it would kind of, you know, it would be probably incumbent on you guys to provide something like that and demonstrate that you're, you know, you think like them. Does that make sense?
And it was, we heard it a lot from our sponsors. You know, they love the platform that we've got. The attendees, we have an advisory board made up of end user attendees. And when we asked them kind of how they wanted to virtually engage with their peers, even before we sort of went into the full blown virtual event planning, they talked a lot about it. You know, I'd like to have these kind of capabilities of finding what I'm looking for, and I'd like to, you know, not have kind of the traditional, very flat and less functional virtual experience. But, you know, they know that we should be able to do these things, and they think we're naturally the kind of an event that should, because, as you say, that's what our job, you know. And we've even mentioned that in talking about it, that, you know, artificial intelligence and collaboration technology isn't just what we cover, it's how the event runs.
Yeah, exactly. Great. Eric, I think that answers all the questions I had, unless there's anything else.
Thanks very much again. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the My Tech Decisions podcast, where it's our mission to help you make technology decisions for your company. If you'd like to learn more, head to mytechdecisions.com or follow us on Twitter at mytechdecisions. You can also follow me on Twitter at ZWComo. Until next time.